I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We come together to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you. God is good.
All the time.
It's a beautiful day outside and a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord together. We welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, we want to really encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today and know that you are welcome in this space. This is the Lord's house, and it is He who greets you and welcomes you here. Today, as we get started, we want to first acknowledge and thank all those who came out and helped with the men's rally last night. It was just a good time with both men and women fellowshipping around the shelter area, a lot of good food, a lot of surprisingly good cooks out there. And there were some hot dogs, too, by the way. We appreciated everything that everybody brought to make that happen. And then, of course, the men who gathered. We had several folks from Men of Steel, which is an after-prison ministry here in Burlington that came and were part of the service. Several folks from Elon First Baptist, and then just some folks from Random who came and saw the flyer or a poster. And we had about 45 men together last night. It was really a good opportunity to praise the Lord and be challenged. Somebody asked me if they thought that the wrestler who spoke stretched some of his stories. And I said to Johnny, well, just like Jerry Clower said, you never let the truth get in the way of a good story. So we were blessed by the message, blessed especially by Giles and his musical leadership. Also want to let you know that today in our service during the offertory prayer, our deacon of the week, Brian, will lead us also in a blessing of the prayer blankets. And you see here on our altar, we have several examples. The ladies have been busy. In fact, they've got a whole bin full of prayer blankets. And if you're unfamiliar with this ministry, the card on the blanket simply says, "This blanket is made by hand and threaded with prayers of love and hope." People are actually praying as they thread these blankets together. May it enfold you in warmth, comfort, healing, and the knowledge that you are loved. Love, First Baptist Church of Elon. And these prayer blankets are kept in the handbell room upstairs. If you know of someone who is sick or just needs encouragement or needs to be comforted in any way, you can come and get one of these. There's a little booklet there for you to sign, you know, who you're taking it to and the date. But also, I have the opportunity to take these to people from time to time in the hospital. I always feel guilty because they give me all the credit and all the praise for all the hard work that went into that blanket. So again, as Brian comes for the offertory, we are going to have a special blessing for these so that people know that not only were they prayed for by those who stitched, but they come with the blessing of this entire congregation. Today, as we worship, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to live for. What is the Lord doing to bless you in your life? And what is the Lord putting before you to increase your life today?
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, reading verses 23 and 24. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us." As we reflect on those words and the gift of the Spirit this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather in this place, we first off give you thanks. We give you thanks for sending the Spirit to reside in this place and within us. It's driven us to this place this morning to worship and celebrate who you are. Father, as the Spirit moves in this place, may we be moved by the thoughts that we have, by the reflections upon Scripture, by the prayers that are prayed, by the songs that we sing. Father God, as we gather here in this place, as we feel the Spirit move in us, may that movement take us from this place to continue to carry your word and your love to those that are outside these walls. We lift this prayer this morning in your Son's name, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, "At the Cross Love Ran Red." Please stand.
Can y'all hear me? There we go. All right. It is not too late to sign up for the Ladies Conference that's coming up in 2 weeks. We're going to be traveling to Myrtle Beach. There are several really good speakers this year, so I don't want anybody to miss out. So if you are interested, please see me today, and I will give you any information that you need or any details that you need or any answer any questions that you have. Thank you.
So, in response to the tornado that hit Greensboro last Sunday night, the missions team is going to be collecting school supplies for this Sunday and next Sunday to share with the Hampton Elementary School students and staff. As many of you know, I teach in Greensboro, and I teach at Reedy Fork Elementary, where we will be housing Hampton until the end of the school year. So Monday, we are getting 300 new students, along with their staff. They're not coming and joining our classrooms, but every space in our school is being used to teach and welcome these young people and their staff to our school. But they lost everything. If you saw the pictures of Hampton Elementary School, it's flattened. Two of the things that the teachers have said that they need are Kleenex and hand sanitizer. If you have small children or you have grandchildren, you know we get sick a lot. So these things are helping avoid that. And also gift cards to Target, Dollar Tree, Big Lots, Family Dollar, Office Depot, anywhere that has school supplies, because I know I have a lot of weird things in my classroom that people don't think to get. And this will give the teachers some choice in having in what they need for their classrooms. You can... there's a basket down here outside of the sanctuary, and then there's one up in the fellowship hall. And we ask for your prayers, too. It's hard on these kids because the kids lost a lot as well as their school. And also the all the staff lost everything. A lot of, and I know how much I spend on my classroom. I've spent $500 so far this year out of my own pocket. And they've done the same. So pray, and I ask for your prayers for our kids and our staff, both staffs, as we merge into one school for the rest of the school year. Thank you so much for your support of Hampton and Reedy Fork. Thank you.
Well, come on down, children. We're going to do something different this morning. Well, good morning. We're gonna make something this morning, and I'm gonna need your help. Y'all come stand up here. Y'all come up here. Y'all just stand right here. Okay, how many of you like, oh my goodness, I brought a spider, or a spider came in a blanket or something. Okay.
Oh my.
Okay.
How many of you like brownies? Do y'all like brownies? Langston don't like chocolate. Okay, well, we're going to make some brownies this morning. All right, what do we need? We need the mix, right? Yeah? All right, let's pour the mix in. Okay? All right. Sorry, Mason, this is going to take a little bit of time. Okay? Let's pour in our mix. Now, we need a little bit of, what do y'all think this is? Anybody?
Oil.
Oil, that's right, Langston, oil. So let's put a little bit of oil in here, a little bit. Okay? All right.
Oil.
Let's put a little bit of...
Oil, water.
Water. You can tell who cooks here. A little bit of water.
Water.
All right. We need something else. What comes in?
Eggs.
Oh, we all know what eggs are. All right, somebody wants... I better crack that. All right, let's put our egg in. All right, let's put that in there. Okay, now, what'd I do with my spoon? I lost my spoon. Where my spoon is. All right. Oh, there it is. All right, let's stir it up just a little bit.
Stir it.
Okay?
I see the egg.
Now, y'all see the egg mixing up? Okay. We're starting to mix it. But, you know, we need a little bit of something.
Dog.
What is this?
Bean. Dog food.
You think this will make it taste better?
Yeah.
Y'all think so? Look what it is. Y'all want to eat that?
No.
Anybody see that?
No.
Y'all see that over here?
Fryer?
Let's put a little bit of this in it. What is it, Luke?
No.
Wes, what is it? Tell them what it is. What's that? What is that right there?
Dog.
Dog. So let's put a little bit of dog food in this. Y'all think that'll hurt it?
No. No.
Yeah. All right, let's mix this dog food up in here. All right. Now, would y'all eat this with this dog food? No. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit. That's not going to hurt it, is it? You think so?
Mm-hmm.
All right, have a seat. Have a seat. So, just a little bit of dog food. What's that? Dog feed it?
No.
Why wouldn't y'all
people
eat just a little bit?
People.
All right, well, just, you know, this dog food is a little bit like semen. Just a little bit of semen. Just a little bit of semen won't hurt really. Yeah, just a little bit will. Yeah? You know, we think a little bit of sin could be like what? Oh, Mama says, Luke, did you clean your room today? And you say, you said, Mama, or Wes, Denise might say, Luke, Wes, did you clean your room today? And you said, oh, yeah, I did. And she goes in there and it's not. So that's a little bit of sin, isn't it? Or you might think of your teachers, you might think bad thoughts about your teachers. That's a little bit of sin, isn't it? But, you know, we think a little bit of sin is not bad. But we think a big sin, like killing, is bad. Or stealing is bad. But Jesus says all sins are bad, even if it's a little bit like that dolphin was just a little bit. I put some brownies. It's not good for us. But all sins are bad. So a little bit of sin is just as bad as killing or stealing. Okay? So Jesus wants us, if we sin, he wants us to pray and ask for forgiveness. Okay? Even little sins. Okay? Let's pray. Okay? Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness, even if we sin just a little bit, Lord. Thank you that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I do have something for y'all. And these were not made with dog food, I promise. Laura made these. Y'all can take these. These do not have dog food in them. Laura made these last night. So y'all can take them back upstairs and eat them if you want to. And I know what she looks like. Thank y'all.
Our obituary hymn this morning is 406, A Solid Rock. Get all this.
Thank you. aren't you glad Gay's not making dessert for the next covered dish? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come today and first we praise you. We praise you for people who are willing to give of their time and their talents to create something that could go out and provide comfort. We ask that you would bless the prayer blankets. They've been prayed over as they're made. They've been prayed over when they're considered where they're going. And now we're praying over them collectively. We're asking that you bless them so that as they are delivered to people, that they would feel not just the warmth of thread, the warmth of cloth, but the warmth of people. The warmth of people who love them the way that you love them, just not as well. God, we pray that they would know you better because they've seen you through the gift. Then we come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would bless these tithes, these offerings, these gifts. We've seen this week the worst of what nature can do. We've also seen the best of what people can do. We ask that you would take these resources that are given and use them in a way that's more powerful than what we could imagine to do good for your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. What a word, O Lord, of praise to you. How rightly the psalmist says that you are good and your love endures forever. How rightly the psalmist observes that you do not punish us forever, but in fact you give us life, we will not die. How rightly the psalmist points out that you give us victory over life and that you are with us even if others are against us. Even in the moments of greatest peril, your presence brings peace and we are safe. And God, how is it then that we are so quick to turn from you? How is it that we are so fickle in our faith? Moreover, how is it we are so fickle in our commitments, Lord? We say we will go, but we do not go. We say we will proclaim, but our lips are shut. When the opportunity is presented, we find a way out. When the invitation is given, we fear we have no time. Lord, so many times you place those opportunities in our path to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and yet we have to go see about a field or go check on our new ox. So many times, Lord, you place in our path people of need, people like those who lost homes and schools in Greensboro, physical needs, and it would be so easy for us to go and do something, and yet we find we do not go. Other times, those people that you place in our path are people who are lost. What do we mean when we say lost, O God? Teach us to deeper understand that word lost. That these are people who need to be found and loved and have the gospel of Jesus Christ shared with them. So God, we pray, we stand before you and we pray, forgive us, but not only that, recreate us, that we might have life and have it to the full. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, as we come to your word, we pray, as we always do, open us, mind, heart, body, open us to what it is that you have to say. Oh God, may we not miss it. In Jesus' name. Amen. What's the most trouble that you've ever been in your life? How many of you have ever had to go to the principal's office as a kid? Anybody? Liars? Somebody, you need to put your hand up? Okay, you probably need to put both hands up. It's a heart-pounding experience if you have never experienced it. You don't know how this is going to go down. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how much trouble or what the punishment might be. How many of you have ever been pulled over for any reason, whether you were guilty or not? I like how you waited until it said guilty or not. It's a scary thing because you wonder, what did I do? Was I speeding? Do I have a tail light out? Is there tags? Is there some kind of issue here? Am I wanted and don't know it? For some people, it's even more horrifying. They have issues that they have to wrestle with. You never know what's going to happen. I promise you this, it's probably just as horrifying for the one pulling you over because likewise, they don't know what's about to happen. How many of you have ever been arrested and actually spent some time in jail? Anybody want to confess? Jane Crabb did. Probably most of us have never been in that level of trouble where we were arrested. I remember that I really thought I was going to be arrested one time in my life. When I was a student at Duke Divinity School, you had to pay to park everywhere on campus. There was paid parking, and it was the beginning of the year, and I had not yet paid for my parking sticker, and I was running late, and my original plan was first day, I'd go in enough time to buy the sticker and could park legally, but time ran out on me. And so I knew that there was this one dirt lot that had a huge mound of dirt, construction dirt. And I said, I bet I could park behind that pile of construction dirt and they would never see me back there and I could get away with it for at least one day. So I got there early in the morning. Classes started. I had to get there early. About 8, and I had a night class, so I didn't get out of class until about 7 or so, and it was dark. And I walked back to my car, and I got in, and I cranked it up, and there was no ticket, no boot, felt good, pulled around the backside of that pile of construction dirt, and in an instant, 4 police cars converged on me on all sides, and my heart was, I was like, oh, they got me. I was like Fred Sanford crying out, Elizabeth, here I come. And to make it worse, when I rolled down the window, I had a big jar of sweet tea in a mason jar. And the first thing he said, "What's in the jar, boy?" I said, "Well, it's not bourbon." It turns out that my car and my physical appearance 100% matched the description of someone who had just committed a robbery on campus. A mugging had occurred. And so the police, campus police, Durham police, were out everywhere looking for this blue sports car with a white male about my height, my age, hair color, everything. And they just knew it was me. Of course, it was not me. So I got away with it. But that heart-pounding feeling of thinking, they're going to take me to jail for something I didn't even do. I'm innocent. It'll never leave me. You know that feeling. Maybe it's the feeling of being caught by your mama when you were a kid or your dad, or that feeling of feeling like you've taken the wrong turn on a one-way street. And you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know how this is going to go down, but you know this, you know that this is serious, and you're in danger. And yet, when we look at our scripture today from Acts chapter 4, I'm so quickly reeled back into the reality that never in my life have I been in any real danger. Oh, sure, I've had dangerous moments, and there's been accidents and falls and been kicked by a horse and had a cinder block dropped on my head and fell out of a two-story building and jumped off the trampoline, landing gut first around a fence. Sure, there's been moments of peril, but not this kind of real horror danger. To be arrested in the ancient near Middle East by people who are power hungry and corrupt and hell-bent on destroying you and everything you believe in, who are opposed fundamentally to your faith and the one you proclaim, Jesus Christ. There are people in the world today who face that kind of peril. We're blessed and we're fortunate that we rarely do. So it's hard for us to put our minds into the ancient readers and writers of Acts and to realize just how serious this is, because we often come to these stories from Acts like we're just reading characters about characters in a fairy tale book, and we become so disconnected from the fear our founders of our faith must have had. Their lives are on the line. We're told just before our reading today that Peter and John have been preaching and teaching and proclaiming Jesus, and so they get locked up. They get arrested for proclaiming the gospel. In verse 5, it says, "The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family." It's the principal's office, folks. Times 10. These are the guys who could, with but the point of a finger, end you. Who could ruin you. You probably have people in your life with that kind of power over you, whether you want them to or not. With a single accusation could destroy your life. And so there is Peter and John at the mercy of these power-hungry, corrupt religious leaders with all kinds of real political power at their disposal. In verse 7, it says, "When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, 'By what power and by what name do you do this?'" Do what? They've been out not only proclaiming the gospel, but enacting the gospel through miracles. Making the sick well, the lame to walk, the blind to see. They've been doing the business of Jesus. And it's that business of Jesus. It's the real work of the gospel. It's not just what they're proclaiming. More so, it's what they're doing, stirring up the crowd by working wonders, getting people agitated by healing and bringing life and hope. And what a ridiculous question. By what power and by whose name are you doing all this? We had a wrestler in our men's rally last night who came and talked, and I remember as a kid, one of my favorite wrestlers, Ric Flair, he would come into the room and chaos would ensue. People would be screaming, girls hollering, men shouting and booing, and he would just walk out and smile and say, "What's causing all this?" That's really the question. What's causing all this? What's behind what's happening here? And Peter and John see it as an obvious question to answer, but for the religious establishment, they really don't know. People say that about churches sometimes. They see churches growing and flourishing, and they look at it and they say, "Well, what's different about their church than ours? What's causing all of that? What are they doing that we're not doing? What do they have that we don't have?" The answer in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter doesn't answer anything well unless he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And this time he is, and he says to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned," keep that in your mind, "if we are questioned," in other words, another way to state that is, if we are being questioned because, if this is really your question today, because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, who was crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Have you ever been doing something very worthwhile, a good work, and you put your heart into it, only to have people naysay and criticize and say, "Well, I don't think we ought to be doing that," or "That's a waste of time," or "I don't think that's the right direction for us to go"? Have you ever tried to lead or start a ministry in the church and people just sort of say, "Eh," or people outright oppose it? And you ever wonder what's going on and what's behind the scenes? Peter and John understand. When they say, if what you're really asking is, how is this man healed? Well, we'll tell you. But we know that's not what's really troubling you. What's really troubling you is that there is something going on that you are not in control of. That's what bothers people in church. When something is succeeding, often they will criticize it or tear it down a little bit because they don't even realize the human jealousy at work and the fear of losing control. "I don't have power over that, so it must not be good. I don't have control over that, so I've got to figure out what's wrong with it. How do we stop this?" That's what's really at play here. Peter sees it and he says, but if you're asking, why is this man well? The answer is Jesus. And if you're opposed to this man being well, you are opposed to Jesus. And if you're opposed to Jesus, you are opposed to the one who sent him, the Father in heaven, Yahweh, Almighty God. Sometimes I want to say to folks, why are you standing in the way of Jesus and the work that he's trying to do? They say it's Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified, whom God rose from the dead. And then in verse 11, they give this powerful jab. This Jesus is the cornerstone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. This is the great role reversal. It's the divine reversal that we see throughout Scripture. You see, from the perspective of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Caiaphas and Ananias and all those religious leaders, from their perspective, Peter is in mortal danger. And he's the one who ought to be worried and shaking in his boots. But from Peter's Holy Spirit-filled perspective, it's these establishment folks who are the ones in danger. All of a sudden, the story is flipped. We begin with the setting of Peter being the one in bondage. Now Peter is pointing out that they, Caiaphas and the leaders, are the ones in bondage. He said, the only way to be free, now he's preaching to his captors, and the only way for you to be free and safe is Jesus. So often it is in life that the ones who think they have power have no power. The ones that think they are free are really in bondage. The ones that think they have life are living like the walking dead. And the ones who think they have it all have nothing to show for it. Peter says it is Jesus and Jesus alone that is life. Last week, we proclaimed Jesus lives. This week, we proclaim Jesus is life. And that without Jesus, we are not living. Now, you can take that two ways. Most of the time, we good church-going folk take that statement, without Jesus, we are lost, to mean a one-time, invitational, baptismal, revival moment in our life where we accepted Christ and now we're alive. Now we have life in Christ. That's the eternal sense of what they are saying. But what Peter is saying goes not just to the eternal once and for all, but to the moment by moment way that you live your lives. Is Jesus at the heart and center of your relationship with your wife? Is Jesus at the heart and center of your sense of calling and career? Is Jesus at the center of the way you spend your dollar at the gas station or Walmart or Food Lion? Or if you were there yesterday, Lowe's Home Improvement, Shop Big Blue. Is Jesus Lord over the minutia? The stuff that you think it doesn't matter, but by God, it probably matters more than you could ever know. What do you watch? What do you read? What do you eat? Who do you befriend? Who do you speak to in public? Who do you avoid? All of that matters. Do you come to an event or not? Do you come and pray at the altar when the pastor invites you or not? Do you witness to that lost friend or not? We always say, I'll get to it. I'll get around to it. I'll do it next time. I'll do it when I have a chance. Folks, you do not have as much time as you think you have. I came across something profound in my reading this week that I wanted to share with you. It's just a very short news article from the UK. How much time people spend doing stuff in their lives. This is speaking about the UK, but it's very much applicable to us here in the United States. It says, in the UK, the average life expectancy is 79.5 years old. This is equivalent to 954 months or 29,037 days. I'm going to break down how long the average person spends doing stuff in their lifetime. On average, people spend one-third of their lives asleep. which is 318 months sleeping, laying in bed. This gives you 636 months left to live. Time is running out. He says, this means the average person, then the next thing is the average person spends 15 years in education, doing standard 8 hours per day, excluding weekends. This brings the total to 1,305 days, which is 43 months. This gives you now 593 months left to live. From the age of 19, when you leave education, until 65, when you retire, let's say you work during a standard 8 hour per day job. Boy, you're lucky. Excluding weekends, you're really lucky, and week holidays per year, this totals to 128 months of your life you spend working. This gives you now 465 months to live. Let's say an average person, people spend 20 minutes a day in the restroom. It may not seem like much, but over the course of 80 years, it's 13 months and 1 week. You have 451 months, 3 weeks left to live. The average person eats 5 meals per day, the little meals, plus whatever munchies they eat between these meals. This gives an estimate that you spend 6 years of your life eating. This gives you 379 months and 3 weeks left to live. He points out a few others. He goes on to say, on average, people spend 4 years doing housework. According to research, the average teenager spends 40 minutes a week just browsing for adult images. According to an online survey, he says that people go to the cinema on average 3 times a year, which, including the time you take buying your popcorn and finding a seat, you roughly spend 2.25 years in the cinema. And he indicates in his article that he could go on and on and on, but if you just took those blocks of your life, this gives you just 232 months left to live. But you spend the first 12 of your years of your life just taking it easy and doing nothing, which makes your time left over even smaller. I don't mean to worry you, he ends, but the clock is ticking. Oh, we've always got time for Jesus. Next time, some other time, when I have some time, when the time is right. And yet Peter's message to us is, if Jesus is not this moment in your life, you're in danger. And if you don't see it, if you don't sense the urgency for the need of Christ in this moment, whatever that moment might be in your life, every moment, if you don't sense that urgency, then you're deceived. And if Jesus is not the source of life every day, then you're lost. Let us pray. Oh God, would that we all would sense the urgency and the threat, the life and death reality, that we are in danger of not really living at all if we do not live for Jesus every moment of every day. Help us to take that charge quite seriously. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. If you are able, would you stand together as we sing our hymn of response, Take the Name of Jesus with you. you receive this blessing as we go? May the giver of all life grant life to your life this week. May it overflow from you and spread out into those around you, bringing hope, life, love, peace, and joy to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.